Hello, Hainted Loves. Welcome to Homespun Haints Bonus Edition. I'm Becky.
And I'm Diana.
We just heard from Jerry Hunter on our episode on Monday. He is a minister. He's retired now, but he's the Reverend Gerald Hunter. He's an author. He is a paranormal investigator. And one thing he spoke about in depth on that interview was the machismo of many of the men that were around him and how they reacted to ghosts. And Diana, I thought this would be a great opportunity to revisit a topic that we had on our Patreon. If you guys are not members of our Patreon yet, you can go check that out, patreon.com/homespunhaints, where our lovely patrons get all sorts of bonus content. And one of the things we talked about in depth was the idea of masculinity and femininity in paranormal investigation.
Specifically for TV.
We're going to talk a little bit about that again today, but if you want more detail, go join our Patreon.
We talked about how it's kind of emphasized for the benefit of the viewer and the television milieu, but what I want to talk about today is more just the general idea of approaching spirit communication, paranormal investigation in general, and what that has to do with masculinity and femininity in the larger scheme of things.
Yeah, that sounds great. Let's dive in. Before we get started, I just want to give a shout out to you guys. Thanks so much for listening to us. If you like what we're doing here today, I already mentioned our Patreon. Please consider joining that at patreon.com/homespunhaints. Also, subscribe. Wherever you're listening to this, if you're listening to it on our website, you can go to Apple or Spotify, wherever you like to get your podcasts, and look for us and just follow us there. Or if you're on YouTube, please subscribe, because we want to be in your ear holes every day, or at least twice a week.
And if you aren't watching this on YouTube, you could be watching this on YouTube right now.
You could.
Go to YouTube.
Yeah. Check it out. We have a YouTube
now. You can see our faces. Do you know what color our hair is right now? Can you even guess?
I don't know. It changes every day.
I guess you could call it undefined.
I can tell you, though, that our hearts are black. I wanted to point out this book, Ghost Channels by Amy Lawrence. We got a lot of information about this on our Patreon episodes because it is the first, perhaps the only, sociological study of ghost hunting shows, ghost hunting reality shows. We will have a link to it on our website, but it is called Ghost Channels, Paranormal Reality Television and the Haunting of 21st Century America by Amy Lawrence. And it is a fabulous book, and we'll touch on some of the things that she talks about today, and then we're going to go into our own experiences in this field as storytellers who have talked to a lot of paranormal investigators and what masculinity really means. And we're going to do our best because, as you can probably tell, we're women.
Well, that doesn't mean we're not masculine.
That's true. Or are we women?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Thanks for defining that for me.
Mm. You're welcome. Put you in your box. Stay there. Get in that pumpkin shell. Aside from gender, does that book also kind of address, like you mentioned that part of the title is 21st century ghost stuff. Does that address the difference between how you would have been seen in the 20th century having a haunting or talking about your haunted house or talking about the ghost you saw and how people are seen in the 21st century? Because that is also a topic that Gerald brought up, was that nowadays there's less stigma because people are actually like seeking out haunted tourism and ghosty experiences and ghost hunting and ghost shows. And growing up in the mid 60s, he was very, very afraid of being made fun of and being a pariah for having a ghost in his house.
Yes, attitudes have definitely changed between now and 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago with regards to the paranormal and being open to the paranormal. And the show Ghost Hunters really kind of paved the way for that. And that was the first one. The original Ghost Hunters came out on the Sci-Fi Channel. And Ghost Hunters really came about in about 2002. And what happened was there was an article in the New York Times about this group of plumbers who were doing these paranormal investigations on the side. TAPS. The Atlantic Paranormal Society. And somebody over at Sci-Fi saw the article and was like, hey, this would make a great reality show.
Absolutely.
By 2009, it was the most popular show on Sci-Fi.
Really?
The reason that the show is so successful isn't just because they're looking for ghosts. However, I do remember, and it may be in this book, but I do remember hearing this elsewhere, that because of the show of ghost hunters, belief in the paranormal amongst average Americans soared.
Could that be because they were manly plumbers?
That is part of it, yes. So the show did kind of open the way. It made it okay for people to kind of come out and be like, yeah, it's okay. I believe in ghosts because these average Joes are out here doing these paranormal investigations and sometimes they find things, sometimes they don't. And they're very scientific about it. Now, prior to ghost hunters coming out, you definitely did have people on the fringe, especially in the South where I live. There's always been this sort of belief in spirits and haunts and things like that. And then, of course, we had the whole spiritualist movement in the Victorian era with mediumship and all that. So it does go in waves. It does go in trends. However, belief in the paranormal and interest in scary things, such as ghosts and horror and all that, tends to go up when the economy goes down.
Oh, that's so cool.
Isn't it?
Because also, I know that the interest in horror movies is linked to how many wars are currently waging on the planet.
It's an escape, right? It's an escapism. Think about it now. Ghost Hunters, 2002, and then what happens in 2007 to the global economy?
Yeah, nothing good.
You have this big, major crash. And guess what we start seeing a lot of? Ghost hunting shows.
Ghost shows, ghost shows. Ghost shows. Yay.
But we want to talk about gender, don't we?
I think so. That's what we started out talking about. So yes, yes, that's what we're talking about.
Let's backtrack a little bit and let's talk a little bit about what Jerry said about being macho and the reaction to ghosts.
Oh, I just love that he used the word macho man. That way we can use it without feeling awkward. Yeah, no, he actually came out and said my dad was very macho man. Mm-hmm. Brothers were also macho. And then he said, I've always been the one who wasn't macho in my family, despite my best efforts.
Uh-huh.
That kind of surprised me. Like, oh, I wanted to be macho like my family, but I'm not. But I tried, but I'm not.
Well, it's interesting that to him, being open to the spiritual kind of ran contrary to being, quote unquote, macho. And that also is discussed in this book. So when you think about the reason that these paranormal investigation shows have done so well, and if you notice that there tends to be a formula that they follow.
Yes, I've noticed that.
So a couple of things that I want to point out. First of all, the men, because they're mostly men. Yes, there are outliers. There are definitely women. They tend to be white men with, again, huge exception of ghost brothers, but they're still dudes. And they all tend to be from like a working class, tough guy background. They're plumbers, they're contractors, they're handymen. They're your everyday Joe. They're your guy next door.
Yeah, exactly. You're not going to get like, I'm Dr. Anthony Fauci and I'd like to talk to you about ghost hunting. Yes.
No.
Like it's average people.
It is. It is. And that's very appealing. That's very appealing to guys just like them. Because what do? Even though they're these average Joes, even though they're not out there conducting brain surgery, they're still really tough because they can walk into a haunted house and not be afraid of the ghosts. It's very appealing. So you dudes that watch the show, have you been like, yeah, I want to be like that. I mean, I've watched the show and gone like, yeah, I want to be like that.
Not afraid to go into a haunted situation. I think at first when I started watching the show, it kind of did impress me.
Yeah. I was like, I want to fill up with that masculine energy and just be like, yeah, I'm going to bring here my K2 meter. Come and get me, ghosts. Mm-hmm. No, I love it.
I always thought that it was because they were plumbers, they could find out, like, is it the pipes? Like, everybody always blames the pipes. Like, they're plumbers. They would know. Finally, we can get somebody to eliminate all these pipe sounds for for hauntings.
Think about the stereotype for the average Joe, right? He's not the PhD ivory tower academic. He's down there working with his hands. He's got more common sense. It's the common sense. It's the being of the people, knowing how stuff works, not just theoretical. So that's kind of where that comes in. Couple other things. They're very analytical, right? They use tools.
Yes.
It's not about feelings. It's not about sensing.
It's supposed to be objective measurements. Regardless of what those measurements are, they are objective measurements.
And in very stereotypical gender roles, men are thinking, women are feeling. Men use tools and objectivity. Women use their emotions and their intuition. Hence, again, a big masculine thing. These guys never show fear because they have their tools. Now, I've heard in actuality, they do get scared. They just cut that out of the final cut.
Ooh, they just cut out the scary, scary parts. Oh, yeah. I feel cheated. I want the scare track. I want the track of screams. Beep.
Yee. There'll be a lot of screams, but it's usually the women on the team. Have you noticed that?
I have noticed that the women scream a little bit more, or at least their screams make the edit.
Mm. Yeah. So, that is the second aspect, right? So we've got average Joe, common sense, doesn't get afraid, not given to silly flights of fancy, right? Because he's a blue-collar worker. He just is in the dirt. He's climbing under houses every day. He's very analytical, very masculine again. Very analytical, uses tools, does not get caught up in feelings. And thirdly, all of these shows, have you noticed that every single one of these shows, they always show them going to the place? They always have to have that cut of them in the vans talking to one another on their way to the location. They make a very specific point of showing them going to the location. And that's a lot of film work, right? Like, they got to have the cameras in the car on the dash. They have to have the camera set up on the road watching their black vans in succession go by. Why? Why make such a big point about it?
Why?
Again, traditional gender roles. Women are of the inside. Men are of the outside of the world. And this dates back to ancient times. Ancient times. Back in classical Athens, the saying was, a righteous, virtuous woman leaves her house twice in her life, once for her wedding and once for her funeral. This is where this comes, I mean, that's not where it comes from, but that idea, right, is that women are supposed to be of interior spaces. They take care of the home. Men are of exterior spaces. They are public. And so you have to make a point of showing that the men are outside. They're going to another location. It's public to them. Even though they're going to be in a house, maybe, there's a big deal of showing that they're going there. They're existing outside of the interior. They're doing something in public.
Yes.
It all follows a formula, and it's very appealing to those of us that want to embrace our love of ghosts, but not feel like we're not macho. Read the book.
Interesting. You don't think it's got anything to do with just happenstantially, in Jerry's case, his mother believed in ghosts and his father was macho and didn't believe in ghosts. And those have nothing to do with machismo. Oh. It's just he saw a masculine role model and so did his brothers who didn't believe in ghosts. And so that's how they learned machismo.
It has everything to do with machismo.
So it's an inherent quality of machismo to be like, I don't believe in this. You're making this up. I want nothing to do with this. I'm going to leave instead of...
Well, think about it.
Sticking it out and seeing if I...
Even in these paranormal investigation shows, they always have to... has to be proven, right? And 95% of the time, they don't find anything. And that's okay.
Yeah, that's true.
It has to be proven through analytical tools. They have to catch something that cannot be shown any other way to be true.
That makes sense to me. I like that. I don't consider that necessarily an inherently masculine trait to want objective proof of something. Stereotypically, yes.
When I say masculine, I don't mean men. We all have masculine and feminine sides to ourselves, right? I'm talking about just society's way of defining what masculine versus feminine is. And whether or not you agree with it or not, I'm talking about the stereotypes that we've grown up with. Masculine is objective, analytical. Feminine is feeling and intuitive. I know we are not cut and dry like that. That's just the societal definitions that we are using to apply to this analysis. Does that make sense?
I was looking at what I wrote in the show notes. If you're interested in the show notes, they're at homespunhaines.com right now, top of the page. But when I was kind of like rolling this around in my mouth earlier this week, and I was thinking about the way that he was presenting the how he kind of viewed interacting with ghosts in general as an anti-masculine trait, and I was trying to think of qualities that I consider like inherently masculine, not manly, just masculine qualities, as nothing to do with machismo, but the idea in my mind of like what is masculinity is I was mulling it over, and I'm thinking like guidance and protection for one's wards, gallantness in the face of defending people who have less power or advantage than oneself, bravery in accomplishing intimidating tasks or confidently taking some action, mainly action based on rational reason, and feats of physical strength and endurance, of course. And those are kind of like, when I kind of distill what is a masculine quality versus what is a stereotypical machismo quality, that's what I think of. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. It does. And I love that. I love that. And I think you're absolutely right. Like, the machismo, I guess, prior to these ghost hunting shows, that was typical of macho men, or women who considered themselves macho men, would be, ugh, I don't believe in that. You're just being silly. You're being right. Silly. There's no proof. Right. There's no proof ghosts exist. It's not like you told me you saw a spider.
And that's interesting to me because, okay, I understand saying I don't see any rational explanation within your ghost theories. I understand that. And kind of taking a step back as a masculine person wanting to be like, I don't see the rationality behind your theory. You're just talking about your feelings and what you imagine to be there. You're not proving anything objectively. I understand that and wanting to take a step back away from that. But the idea, especially when, you know, Jerry's showing his brother, look at this, here's my evidence. And his brother goes, I told you I didn't want to see any of this, and leaves. That doesn't strike me as masculine. That strikes me as very fearful.
Exactly.
Which, again, is kind of contrary to the idea of masculine people being gallant, brave defenders. I don't know. So in that sense, the machismo itself kind of goes against masculinity.
It does. It does. No, I think you're absolutely right. And I think it's because part of this machismo is having to prove that you're always right. And if you see something that completely goes against that idea of, oh, I was right, you're just going to want to get out of the situation. You can't handle it because your head's going to explode. He also points out that when these people are afraid, their reaction to being afraid is to get angry.
To get full of rage.
It's like he got angry. He said, I don't want to have anything to do with this. And instead of forcing himself to look at what he was seeing and reanalyze all of his beliefs, he just left. He just removed himself from the situation. He couldn't handle it.
So what you're saying is machismo is more about perhaps close-minded authority.
And always being right, yes.
Than it is about real masculinity.
Right, right. It can certainly appear as leadership, right? If if you happen to always be right. And people,
we don't know anything about that in America.
No.
Not one bit. Nope.
I think real masculinity is, like you said, if you're presented with evidence that doesn't fit with what you knew before, you have to pivot because you're a leader.
That would be the scientific method for those people who enjoy objective data. Mm-hmm. It's the willingness to change your mind in the face of new objective data. That's why I was so baffled by that reaction. I don't want to see this. Leave. What?
Because it challenges your worldview, and it also implies that you were wrong. You can't be feeling like you were wrong. No, you just got to get out of there.
It's a vulnerable position to realize you were wrong. Because before you realize you're wrong, being wrong feels exactly like being right. So it doesn't matter if you're wrong or right as long as you think you're right.
Right, right.
But as soon as you realize you're wrong, that's very vulnerable. Machismo and vulnerability don't tend to go very well together.
But masculinity and vulnerability do.
Oh, there you go. Tell me more about that.
So let's say you're a general, right? General leading people to war or coming up with strategies. And you get new information that says, we're being flanked on all sides. The approach that we were planning isn't going to work. Are you going to be like, I'm never wrong, and just go with your original strategy? Or are you going to be like, snap, I better change. Okay, I didn't know that. I got new information. I gotta protect these people. These are my soldiers. I'm not just going to lead them into a slaughter just because I can't be wrong.
It's your job to defend people who have less power or station than you do as a leader, and so therefore you're going to pivot. Yeah, I agree. I think it's good to re-examine your point of view when faced with new evidence.
Also, you can choose whether or not that makes you appear vulnerable or weak. Because what real weakness is not being able to accept things in front of you. That's real weakness.
In this case, we're seeing the actions that Jerry was labeling as macho as something that is kind of almost like a mask. Mm-hmm. A mask, mm-hmm. if you will. That'll hit with a certain subset. An appearance of masculine qualities that don't actually embody the qualities that you're hoping to embody. I don't want to say anybody's doing it wrong. That's not what I mean. It feels like in this whole episode, the machismo ran contrary to analyzing evidence and protecting and defending. Thank you for sharing your insider's viewpoint of masculinity for me and those of us who may or may not be in the know. And I guess you're not really a real insider because you weren't raised male, so in a patriarchal society where you had to embrace certain trends of masculinity to survive and not get the crap beat out of you.
And I feel so sorry for men. It's gotta suck.
Especially growing up in 1960s rural Michigan. Ugh. Hainted loves. If you were raised male in a patriarchal society and you have a differing viewpoint or want to point out things that we missed or want to point out things that we did wrong or just feel like mansplaining your two cents into our conversation, we welcome that. Please let us know. The conversation goes on and on our Facebook group, facebook.com/group/homespunhaints.
You can also leave a comment below on our YouTube.
But either way, let us know. Let us know from the insider's point of view. Let us know from an outsider's point of view. We just want to understand what machismo and masculinity have to do with ghosts. And in the meantime, have a spooky day.
Homespun Haints is hosted by Becky Kielimnik and Diana Doty and produced by Homespun Haints Media, LLC. Editing and music by Becky Kielimnik. Show notes by Diana Doty. If you have a ghost story and you'd like to be considered as a guest for this podcast, please visit our website at homespunhaints.com/submit.